Tonight, it's Christmas Eve. I don't have any handouts for you tonight. I'm going to be easy on you. You don't have to follow along or focus. You can just enjoy your coffee and your fudge and try not to fall asleep as I preach. That'd be awesome. I talk about this every year at Christmas time, and I don't know if this is true for other pastors, but I know it's true for me. Holidays are the hardest times to preach for me, because so many people will show up at Christmas and Easter, you know, the CNO, the Christmas and Easter CEO Christians, the Christmas and Easter only Christians, they show up twice a year at church. And you want to try to make the sermon, you want to try to tell the same story, and you know it's the same story. It's Christmas, it's Easter. And I just want to try to connect it to you maybe in a way that you haven't had it connect with you before. So every Christmas, it's a challenge to try to tell that same story and not have you just doze off going, I've heard that 100 times already. I know the story. I know you know the story. I want you to understand what it means a little better. So that's kind of what we're going to do tonight. Might not be a traditional Christmas story, but it's the Christmas message, and I want you to get that tonight. So, title of the sermon tonight is called Presents. We're going to talk about three things. We're going to talk about the fact that God is with us, God will be with us, and God is now with us. He was, He is, and He will be with us, those three things. We all know the song, O Come Emmanuel, right? You've all heard that Christmas song. The words were written somewhere roughly around the 9th, 10th century, somewhere in there. In church at that time, way back in the old days, what they would do in a church service is they would sing or chant phrases that all began with the letter O. They were called the O antiphons. The priest would give a reading in the church, and then the church would respond with a line beginning with O, the O antiphons. One of the lines that they would respond with when the priest read was, O come Emmanuel. That's the line that inspired the song, O come Emmanuel. An Anglican priest named John Mason Neal put those words to music and wrote the song, O come Emmanuel. The Christmas songs and a lot of the early church songs were actually singing theology. They would take bits of theology or bits of what they needed to ingrain into the congregation and put it into a song, and the congregation could sing it. That was because back then a lot of the congregation was uneducated. They couldn't read. They didn't know how to read the Bible, or they didn't have a Bible at all. So the only theology they could really carry with them and take with them and remember was stuff that they would sing in church. So that's what they used to do. Emmanuel, that means God with us. We pray, God be with me, all the time, don't we? We do that. As you travel, God be with me as I travel. God be with us at this meal, at this service, as I take this exam, as I go and do this thing, as I have to go and face this relationship. God be with me as I have to make this decision. God be with me. So we're praying that all the time in various forms. God be with me. We don't even realize it. So what exactly does that mean? God be with me, Emmanuel. We know it, we sing it, we pray it. What does it mean, God with us? Let's look at Matthew 1:21. She will give birth to a son. You're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The announcement of a Savior. The announcement of the Savior to the Jewish people. This had been prophesied. The Jews had been waiting for this moment for a long time. Finally, it's coming. Let's look at the next verse. Matthew 1:22. And all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. What prophet? Prophet Isaiah. prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 7:14. This is a prophecy that is expressed 750 years before Jesus is even born. Let's look at Matthew 1:23. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's what Isaiah said 750 years before the birth of Jesus. God with us. God with us. God with us. That's revolutionary. That's unheard of. No one could be with God. Old Testament was pretty clear about that. You couldn't be with God. You remember Moses. He's pretty excited. He's done all this stuff, and they're out in the wilderness, and he's like, God, let me see your face. God, I want to see you. And God's like, you know, you can't handle it. I'm too much for you. So what does he do? He says, Moses, you hide in this cleft in the rock, and then I'm going to put my hand over you as I pass by so my glory and my awesomeness doesn't burn your eyes out. And I'm going to pass by, and then I'll take my hand off, and you can kind of see my afterglow, my exhaust, as I pass by. Because that's all you can handle. And that's what happens. And if you know the story, when he comes down off the mountain, his head is glowing. His face is glowing like a light bulb. And they say, Moses, put something on over that. You're hurting my eyes. I left my Ray-Bans in the tent. The Garden of Eden. When they're separated from God, they're cast out of the garden. They could no longer be in God's presence. God and man couldn't really exist together face to face anymore. Didn't work. So the fact that God is with us, that's a revolutionary idea. Big deal. It's a very big deal. What made the shepherds run into the fields that night? What made them run into the fields rejoicing and spreading the word about the birth of this baby? What caused the wise men to fall on their knees and worship this baby? It's the fact that the God of creation is no longer distant. The God of creation is not far off. He's not uninvolved. God doesn't just watch over us. God is with us. You need to understand that. God is with us. There's God's presence and man's presence together. That's what this is about. The Creator touching His creation. The God of the universe is a God of relationship. He's a God of relationship. The triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The triune God in His very nature is relational. He's not alone. He is in a relationship. Even in the triune nature of Him, it's a relationship. That's who He is. That's who we are made to be. He wants to be with us, and He wants us to be with Him. And there was a division. There was a split, there was a separation, there was something in the way of that relationship. Getting in the way of His presence and our presence being together. In Scripture, the book of Genesis, in the garden, Adam is there. I just love this. I think about this. It says, Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. Oh my gosh, what would that have been like? You're walking through this amazing garden with God, just talking about stuff. I mean, oh my gosh, that was amazing. But then sin got in the way and separated them, so he couldn't do that anymore. And everything after Genesis, the whole rest of the Bible, that middle part, that's all us struggling. And then at the end, it's all restored again. Isn't it? In the book of Revelation, when it's all made right and we're all back together with God's presence. His book ended with God and us together and God and us together. And then the middle part where we're screwing it all up. But it's meant to be a relationship in the presence of God. The Creator of the universe. The Creator of all things. The God who made the funny creatures at the deepest depths of the sea that you'll never see. The God who made the cosmos, those things at the farthest reaches of the galaxy that we will never see. He made all of that and everything in between. And he strips himself of all his glory, the glory of heaven, and all that comes with that. And he becomes a man. He becomes flesh. He becomes something that is mortal. Bone, flesh, blood, like you. He becomes like you in the womb of a teenage girl. Born as a baby, God and man mingled together. Let's look at John 1:1 and read through that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Next verse. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. I'm talking about John the Baptist. John wasn't the light. Jesus was. John came only as a witness to the light, to Jesus. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. I'm going to pause right there. That's powerful. There's so many people walking around that, you know, say they're Christians or say they know God, and they've convinced themselves that they do. There's a lot of people who Jesus has come and he's reached out. People haven't received him. Next verse. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Next verse. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling where? Among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Matthew writes, God was with you, God is with you, God will be with you. The problem with the world is that so many people don't believe. They don't. People who sit in church. You've heard it again and again and again, but you don't believe it. And I know that's true for me because I was raised in a church where I didn't know Christ till I was 30 years old. I sat in a church all that time and did all the stuff I was supposed to do, all the rituals, all the ceremonies, all this, all that. I learned that. I memorized that. Nobody told me I was supposed to know Jesus. Nobody told me I was supposed to have a relationship. They just told me you have to do this for the church and then you're good. So I know that happens with people. I know there's people out there who are missing the whole point of Christmas. I know for us, even as Christians, we can say, God's not with us. I don't feel God with me. I mean, I've felt like that, even as a Christian, and I'm sure you have. God, I don't feel him. I don't have this, I don't know. I pray, and, you know, you say God's with me. I don't get a tingle or anything, you know. I never heard his voice. I just don't feel like he's here. I don't feel him. It's not just about the experience. It's about the truth. Maybe you're in a different place right now. Maybe you're in a spot where it's a struggle, where it's hard. Maybe this is the first Christmas without someone. Maybe this is the first Christmas in your family at your house with an empty chair. Maybe there's been an illness that you don't understand and you just feel like God wasn't there for you. Maybe you are struggling with a financial hardship and you're wondering, how did God let this happen to me? Where is he? He's obviously not with me. A failed relationship, something that fell apart and you don't know why. Why would God let that happen? Obviously, he isn't here. No Emmanuel for me. I don't feel God. I don't see God. If God's here, why is this happening to me? For other people, it might be that you've done some things. You've done some awful things that you're ashamed of. You've got some dark secrets. You've got some stuff that you're not proud of. Some things that you know God didn't really like when you did it. Why would God want to be with someone like me? And maybe you've convinced yourself, maybe the enemy's whispered in your ear and convinced you that God wouldn't like you. Why would God hang out with somebody? God's not going to be with you. You? It's hard to believe sometimes for us. If we're in one of those places, I want you to leave here tonight and know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God is with you. He was with you. He is with you now, and he will be with you tomorrow. He's Emmanuel, God with us. So, Luke 1:28, God is with you. God is with you. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." That's the first thing the angel says to Mary, isn't it? The Lord is with you. Man, that's important to know. This young girl, the first thing the angel says is God is with you. Here's the good news for everybody tonight. Everybody here tonight who's struggling. Everybody here tonight who came in with something. Something, because there's the world out there and real life out there. And you just come in here for an hour, hour and a half, whatever it is. And, you know, then you got to go back out in there to the real stuff, to the struggle, to the mortgage that you can't pay, to the cancer that they can't find a cure for, to the relationship that's falling apart when you leave. It's all out there. You're lonely, you're broken, you're confused, you're angry, and it's all still out there waiting. That's good, Pastor Red. Thanks for cheering us up. The Bible says our God is the God of all comfort. All comfort. And again, it's Christmas, man, and sometimes you're like, I don't feel like I'm comforted. I'm going to get through this, but I'm not comforted. No Mary for me this Christmas. That word comfort in Greek, it's the word parakaleo. Parakaleo, it means to come alongside or called to alongside someone. So, God, the God of all comfort, he comes alongside you. When you're in the middle of that struggle and that frustration and that confusion and that loneliness, guess who's right next to you? Guess who has come alongside you to be with you? Parakaleo, it's God. Emmanuel, God with us. And just because you don't feel it doesn't mean he hasn't been there the whole time. Understand that. We'll talk about that in a minute. If we really did believe that, in our head, in our heart, some of us, we know it here, but it needs to drop 18 inches into the engine right here and start a fire and change you. It's a faith. Scripture says, faith like a child. What is that? We talk about that. Oh, Pastor, that must mean we have to go back in time and shrink to be children again. But God can do anything. All things are possible with God. He can turn us into babies all over it. No, that's a little ridiculous, but it's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the faith of a child, talking about growing up as a kid. you trusted your dad implicitly. Your dad could do anything. He was awesome, right? And I've told this story before with Hayden. I'll show a picture of that in a minute. But let's say, it applies in the swimming pool. If your kid's learning to jump off the diving board for the first time and you're in the water and you're like, trust me, I'll catch you. And your child trusts you and they jump in because they know that's my dad. I trust my dad. My dad's awesome. He'll catch me and I believe him. And it's faith, like a child. It was a picture of Gracie and Hayden learning to rollerblade in Missouri. Yay! Look at the skinny guy. Who's that? Look at Gracie. Nice. Good thing we got a helmet that wasn't too big. I think you and Hayden have the wrong helmets on. Look at his. His is like too small. But that was the first day they were out on the street on the rollerblades. And look at Gracie. Look at the trust on her face. Dad said, I can do this. You know, and I'm thinking they're going to fall and it's going to hurt and they're going to bleed and they're going to cry. But I said, you can do it. It's going to be okay. And they got out there and they trust me and they do it, right? And there was a park in Missouri. We used to go to Sequoia Park. Had duck ponds and caves and stuff you could go in because it's Missouri, you know, Mark Twain territory. And there was a rock in the middle of the park. And Hayden used to like to climb on that when he was like 6 years old, when he was that, younger than that even. And I remember, that's a recreation of the event. It wouldn't have happened then because he'd have crushed me. But we were getting ready to go, and Hayden was up on the top of that rock, and I looked up at him, and I said, Hayden, it's time to go. And he launched himself off that rock and just threw himself like Superman, and I caught him. And that's just exactly where it happened, and I recreated that picture because it is such a wonderful picture of the faith of a child in their father, trusting. It's great. We've got to have that. And when we do, there's a relationship that's just, it's amazing. That the all-powerful God of the universe, the all-knowing, all-seeing God of the universe is with you, ever-present. So when you're lost and you don't know what to do, he's with you to guide you. When you're alone, he's with you to be your friend. When you're hurting, he's your counselor. He's coming alongside of you. When you're sick, he's with you as your healer. When you're weak, he's with you as your strength. When you're confused, he's with you as wisdom. And when you're buried in your sin, he's with you as a savior. Emmanuel, God with us. All other religions, it's about trying to make God happy. It's trying to please God. It's trying to do something that will make you okay in the eyes of God. That whole last series we did, we talked about the fact that the old temple system was all about what can I do to make God happy with me? There isn't anything you can do to make God happy with you. Because we're broken. Every one of us. We're a screwed up mess. We're sinners. We're flawed. Everybody in here has thought something wrong. Everybody in here has said something bad. All that stuff that you've done in the dark when no one's looking, all that stuff that you've thought about, all that stuff that you've contemplated, all those things you've done, all that weird stuff that might have run through your head, God knows all that, and everybody has it. Nobody is going to be able to do anything to make you right in the eyes of God. God does that for you. It's his presence. He gave you presence. His presence. God was with you in the past. You can look back over your lives, and sometimes, I was just talking to someone about this earlier, sometimes it's easier to see God in the rearview mirror. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes it's easier to see God when you look back and you're thinking, holy cow, he was there through all that. When I was in the middle of it, when I was struggling, it was really dark and it was really stormy and I couldn't see my hand in front of my face and it was terrible. But now that I look back, God was there with me the whole time.
I can see it now in the rearview mirror. I can see what he did. I can see where he was. I can see how he carried me, how he got me through it. He was there. He was. Joseph from the Old Testament. As a little boy, he has big dreams, literally, big dreams. And his brothers plot his demise. They sell him off, right? They fake his death, sell him off as a slave. I can imagine Joseph is probably thinking, God, where are you in all this? And all this stuff is happening to him, and there's a whole history and a string of events that lead up to him being powerful. The pit leads to the palace and to the power to save his family. And when he's standing there on that balcony in a position of power and he looks back, he's thinking, man, that day when they shoved me in that hole in the ground and I didn't get it, now I see, now I get it. That was God. He was with me. He was moving me from a pit to the palace for a reason, so that I could save the nation of Israel. What I couldn't see then, I can see clearly now. He was with me. He was. When I look in the rearview mirror of my life, I can see the times that God was there for me. He kept me safe. He protected me, and I've told the stories a million times, you know. I should have been dead 100 times over. You know, all the stuff you're not supposed to do, did it twice, maybe three times. You know, all the stupid stories of me and my brothers. You know, you get a bunch of Scotsmen together and, you know, cheer them up with too many beers. Things happen. And things did. He kept me safe. He protected me. He brought me to Mickey, to my wife. He repeatedly rescued us together as a pair, as a couple. He sustained us. He carried us. He comforted us. He encouraged us. He provided for us. And I look back and I just see how wonderful that was. Every time I thought he wasn't with us, when I look back, I see he was. And I prayed to God for my mother not to die, and she died. And I preached Christ at her funeral. God was there. And the doctors told us Gracie was deaf. God was there. When we were first married, the landlord would knock on our apartment door to collect the rent that we didn't have. And we would hide in the dark and wait till she went away. He was there. In college, the first time I went to college and go out on the campus on star-filled nights and look up at the sky and cry out, is there anybody there? Because I didn't know. I was alone, lost and confused, but looking back, God was there. He was there when our children were born. He was there at my last Christless Christmas. He was there. So for people sitting in churches, hearing the story, doing their duty, going through the motions of being a Christian, this is what a Christian's supposed to do. This is what a Christian's supposed to say. Because, you know, that's what Jesus did, right? Please the crowd. Or not. The God of all creation. He is crying. Scripture says there's no excuse. He cries out through his very creation. You can look at a blade of grass, how that works, how that grows, how it lives. How does that even happen? Something as simple as a blade of grass, up to as complicated as you. How do you work? Where did you come from? How the little seed from a pine cone grows into a sequoia tree. Where'd that information come from? How's that happen? Most people in here can't even figure out their cell phone. There's no reason not to know God. God is screaming, he's crying out, I'm right here, I'm all around you, I'm with you, and it's falling on deaf ears. People remain unchanged. People remain lost, sitting in a church, lost. God is with you, God was with you, God will be with you. Imagine Mary, if Mary had a time machine, you know, if Doctor Who showed up with his TARDIS, for all of you who know what that is, time and relative dimension in space, TARDIS, there you go, there's a nerd thing for you. So if she could see the future, if Mary could see everything that was coming, before the angel shows up, she knows all this stuff is coming in the future. That God is going to be with her when she conceives a child by the Holy Spirit. God's going to be with her when she tells Joseph she's pregnant. When the angel tells Joseph it's okay that she's pregnant. When people shun them and mock them. If Mary knows that when we travel to Bethlehem, when we have no room to stay in Bethlehem, and we have to lay down with the animals in stalls while I'm 9 months pregnant and I'm screaming in pain and my poor husband is terrified. The baby is born. God himself, a helpless infant in a stable in the middle of the night, far from home, with sheep and cattle and goats and straw and dirt and manure and stink. When we're on the run to Egypt because they want to kill our son. And when I lose my son at the age of 12 and find him in the temple preaching. And when we're at the wedding and they run out of wine and my son makes more. And when my son is falsely accused and when my son is betrayed by a friend and when he's arrested and when I watch him flogged and torn apart by a Roman whip, and when I watch him carry a cross that's too heavy and he collapses on the street, and when he's nailed to the beams of wood, that would be his torment, but my salvation. When I watch him die, when I watch him breathe his last breath, and then slump motionless. They place his body in a tomb and roll a great stone in front of it. And the sun sets on that day, my son dies. And I cry in anguish. And then there's the second night. That's the darkest night of all. And then the third day, when the stone rolls away and the tomb is empty because he's risen. Because he's Emmanuel, he is God with us. With us. He was, he is, and he will be. Paul writes this in Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, none of that. Next verse. As it is written, for your sake we face death. All day long we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Well, that doesn't sound very wonderful. But God's with you. When you're there, God's here. Next verse. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors. How? Through him who loves us. Next verse. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is Christ Jesus our Lord. He's with you. You're not alone. He loves you. Let's look at Revelation 1:8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Psalm 23, verse 4. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. Oh, I put the wrong verse in there. I'm going, that doesn't sound right. Even though, here we go, this looks much better. Even though, thanks for rescuing me, Bob. I'm glad you're with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are far off and distant, God. For you are uninterested in my affairs. For you just kind of wound me up and let me loose, and I'm just going to wind down and die, and that's all there is. Oh, that's not what it says. It says, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I will fear no evil. Why? Because of Christmas. Because of Christmas. Because he came. Because he's Emmanuel. So here's your question tonight. God is with you, but are you with God? Are you with God? He gave his presence. You need to give your presence. Emmanuel, God with us. I think the worship team wants to close with a song tonight, so let's do that. You guys want to come on up?